This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Siri, can you please book me a haircut today?
I found quite a few hair salons fairly close to you.
Yeah, see, she won't actually book it for me, and I could have Googled that myself if I wanted to. I'm guessing that many of you smartphone users out there have experimented with artificial intelligence too, with sometimes underwhelming results like this. Well, maybe Siri and her friends like Cortana and Google Now are simply trying to do too much without doing anything really well. Well, meet Dennis Mortensen, founder of a company called X.AI, which has a different, simpler approach.
We want to create this personal assistant that can do not 100 things, but just one thing, but that one thing really well. And that's going to be one of being able to schedule a meeting with another human being.
The personal assistant is named Amy, and my next guests have taken her to task, tried to break her, and discover the inevitable awkwardness of life with a bot. Manu Samarodi is the host and managing editor of WNYC's New Tech City podcast here in New York. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Great to be here.
You're welcome. Alex Goldmark is New Tech City's senior producer. Welcome to you, too.
Hi, how are you?
Manoush, is this the next big thing, that the digital personal assistant? It means like, you know, like a company has one now? Or?
I mean, Ira, it's my fantasy. I don't know about yours. This idea that you could offload something as boring as making meeting appointments. You know, trying to get people, never mind just one person, but two or three people or four people to meet these days, here, especially here in New York City, is such hard work. So the deal with Amy is she lives in a Gmail account, and you don't actually have to install her. She doesn't exist as a robot, but she lives in your email account, and you could just email her or CC her on an invitation. So I could send an email to my husband, CC Amy, and say, let's get together. Finally, we haven't seen each other. We've only been seeing the kids. And that Amy could, in theory, set it up for both of us.
In theory. Alex, you actually turned over your social life to Amy, right? How well did she do? Who is Amy, and did she do it well?
Amy is a plucky personal assistant, right? And so I wanted to test her out for the show to see how this works. And I put a post on Facebook and I said, hey, I know there are friends out there who I haven't seen in a long time. I would love to get drinks with you. We're all busy. Let's do it. The catch is you have to do it and schedule it through my personal assistant. And some of my friends thought that was a little weird. I'm a radio producer and I have a personal assistant.
You're making too much money.
Right? Yeah, right.
But they played ball. So I found five of them who were willing to try. And I said, Amy, can you schedule an appointment for five of us? And I gave her a bunch of preferences, right? And this is the interesting part about this new breed of artificial intelligence bots is I just talked to her. I didn't click any buttons on my preferences. I just said, I would like it to be between the hours of 6 and 8 p.m. I would like it to be on a weekday. This is my preferred bar. She just took all of that and started emailing my friends. Hey, I would like to get something on Alex's calendar. Are you free on Tuesday the 23rd or Wednesday the 24th at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m.? And she went back and forth and worked with all of them.
Manoush, have you used Amy? He sounds like he had a successful...
Well,
we'll get to that. You know, here's the problem with some of these,
right? They all showed up.
It's very early on with a lot of these AI right. things, especially the ones that are built into some of the software that we're using. So for Amy, for example, she only lives in Gmail. And I know many of your listeners, I'm sure, will relate that I have multiple calendars across multiple different browsers. And so she can't integrate all of those together. Not yet.
Only in Gmail.
Well, no, she works in any email, but she does not. She wants to right now just work with your Google Calendar.
I see.
So to the fairness of the people making this, it's early days, right? We were beta testers, and the point that we were trying to figure out is actually how artificial intelligence could mesh with our lives, and it's got to start somewhere, and they just happen to start with one type of calendar.
Did Amy actually make all those appointments and meetings?
Well, I found some errors in Amy going through it. So I ended up having drinks with three of my friends. Two of them, we couldn't make it work, partly because they were busy, but when it got to be so many back and forth, there was one or two that Amy just didn't respond. And people would write something back that I think confused Amy, right? So someone wrote back something like, no, I don't want to change the date. Stick to Monday. And Amy didn't know how to deal with that, like, forceful no. She didn't know to take it as, should I try again or should I try to convince you? Do I use charm? You know, she's a robot.
And I think, Ira, what we're talking about there is semantics, right? A lot of times robots, software, they don't know. Like if you and I went out to dinner and I said, so what are you feeling like? Meaning, like, what do you feel like eating? A robot might think you were saying, I'm not feeling well, or I'm feeling like a man, or, you know, it's semantics that these robots and digital helpers have to be taught.
Right. You guys talked to Dennis Mortensen, the founder of X.AI, the company that designed Amy, and he brought up a point that human communication is full of tricky things, like you're saying, that a robot might not understand without the right training.
All the lies humans will tell, you might just call that ambiguity, is something which we need to train on. So you'll say something which you think is honest, such as sending me an email, say last night at 2 a.m., and you'll say, Dennis, can we push that meeting tomorrow 15 minutes? That is obviously untrue. You're just up late, so when you say tomorrow, you mean today. That's a lie. And I need to be able to understand that lie and 1,000 like it.
Wow. The foibles of humans is basically what the computer is saying.
Yeah. I mean, in reporting this, we talked to some computational linguists also, and one of them made the point that when humans talk, we really only understand each other like 80%. We just think we get it 100%. And so when a robot gets it wrong, we're way harder on them. And it's all kinds of stuff. Like, think about it. Words like small. You could say that the island of New Caledonia is small, but so is a marble. So how is a computer supposed to take it? Or soon, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why Dennis wants to make this just for scheduling. Because if you make it too big,
right,
artificial intelligence just can't handle it. So just narrow it down to one task that everybody needs and, frankly, that you can sell to a big company for a lot of money.
Our number, 844-724-8255. If maybe you've had an experience with a personal digital personal assistant. So they're going to... Amy's in beta, and they're going to keep tweaking it to try and make it better?
Well, this to me was the most fascinating thing. So you think, okay, she's digital. Well, it turns out that there is a lovely young woman, a recent Ivy League grad, who is actually the trainer of Amy. She's the personal trainer. So she helps Amy when Amy can't figure out something. She sort of writes the email for her, which then tweaks the algorithm. So hopefully the next time a human makes a lie, as we've been discussing, she now knows how to respond.
I mean, Amy is a baby. I sat next to the AI trainer. This is a new job.
Just like somebody who sits over Amy's shoulder, so to speak.
It's like a babysitter, yeah. And she referred to Amy as, she said, when I first started working here, Amy was a baby, as in she needed a lot of help and the AI trainer needed to do a lot. And now she said that she gets hundreds of emails of scheduling requests a day that cross her desk, and she only writes about 10 sentences. The rest is just saying, yep, yep, correct, nope, yep, basically just telling Amy you're doing a good job, thumbs up.
But if Amy's not doing a good job, do you run the risk of people being mean?
Yeah. Mm.
People being mean to Amy and just start picking on her.
All right, well, I got to tell you, that was Alex's first, not mine, I'll point out, but Alex's first inclination.
This is the difference between us.
Was to try and break Amy. And
it's
to
robot,
try
yeah.
and like, and I don't know, you know, and that's another question, Ira. You know, yeah. we've all had our kid try and taunt Siri.
Right.
And for some reason, that makes me feel very uncomfortable. Like, I know she's not real and she's not a person, and yet I feel bad when I see my child try and taunting her or calling her stupid. I'm not sure why I feel like that, but that is this sort of strange relationship that we are sort of trying to figure out between us and the robots. But back to Alex's bad behavior, he did try to break her. Go ahead, tell them.
I did. Yeah. Well, I didn't. One, I didn't know there was a human behind there. So what I thought I would do right away is give her basically impossible tasks and see if she would give up and run away. So I asked my girlfriend if she would work with Amy to schedule coffee. And then I told my girlfriend, only say you want to do it at 6 a.m. and only say here and keep saying no, you can't do it ever. And then I told Amy, I will never do it before 8 a.m. and I only want to do it at this other place. And Amy just went back and forth and she just stayed chipper and plucky. And it turns out when I confessed this with guilt to Dennis Mortensen, he said, I'm not alone, that this is a regular instinct, that the first thing people want to do is see if they can make the artificial intelligence surrender.
And, like, you would never do that to a person. You would never say, hi, come be my personal assistant. The first thing I'm going to do is make you cry. Like, you would never, well, we hope you would never do that.
But don't you have that feeling when you're on, you're calling a help desk somewhere and you're talking to some voice that says, dial this for that, and that the next person that comes on, you're going to let them have it, you know?
And it's exactly the same thing. And that's the same kind of artificial intelligence bot behind it, right? Mm-hmm. That's a chat bot just like Amy is. Someone has programmed in there all of those answers to say it along a script. And when they don't get it right, it's infuriating, right? But over time, you start to realize it's a computer that you're talking to, and you think, yeah, I can yell at them.
How long did it take for your friends to figure out they were dealing with a robot?
Here's the thing, Ira. You're not going to believe it. They didn't know. They couldn't tell. I basically put them through an unwitting Turing test to see if they could tell man from machine, and one of them got it. The other two didn't. One of them even used to be a personal assistant, and when I told her, she had a whole moment where she went, what? What? Really? And she worked through the whole thing, and she said, well, you know what? I bet people used to think I was a robot.
Hmm. Do you think that if they put a Siri kind of voice instead of just emails sending, there would be a different reaction? Or maybe more cooperation, less cooperation?
I mean, I don't know. I like her. I mean, she uses emoticons. She's kind of makes little jokes and asides. I appreciated her ruthless efficiency. You know, as someone who veers towards the introvert side, I was pretty happy because I could be really tough on Amy and ask her to do lots of things. And it doesn't matter to her how many requests I make, as opposed to a human where I might be thinking like, oh, am I bogging her down? Yeah, am I a pain in the neck? Oh, am I paying her enough for everything that I'm asking her to do? So I feel of two minds about this.
Let's go to the phones to David in North Carolina. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hello, how are you?
Hey there, go ahead.
Well, my question is for people that have constantly changing schedules. I'm involved in construction a lot, and I do a lot of constant adjusting to my schedule throughout the day to meet clients and subcontractors and things of that nature. So if I was starting out my day 30 minutes behind and therefore all of my appointments during the day were going to be delayed, could I simply say, Amy, contact all my appointments today and let them all know I'll be running 30 minutes behind? Would she be able to handle something like that? But would I need to be more specific and going to each one?
Alex?
Well, conceivably, yes. I mean, that's the point of making it an artificial intelligence robot instead of some kind of just simple software app that you would click on, because it then understands what you are trying to say. Whether or not this particular Amy could pull it off with her particular programming right now, I didn't try that. I'm not really here to speak on behalf of the company.
San in Berkeley, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Yes, I'm finding it, my name is Sari, actually.
I'm sorry.
Quite upsetting. It's fine, Ira.
It's fine print on the screen, I can't read.
To hear computers referred to as female.
Yeah.
First of all, they're computers. They are not women. Second of all, it makes women, it puts women in the place of always as the helper to the really important subject, male. And it also makes women feel that they're mechanical. So I really object to this business of calling them Amy or Siri or any of these things.
Oh, I love this. You make such a good point. And I don't know if you have seen, Amazon this week released something called Echo, which is like a little, it looks like a speaker, and you put it in your living room and you talk to it and you can say, how do you spell this? What's the weather like going to be tomorrow? And in the demo video, they named their Echo Alexa, and she speaks with a soothing female tone. And you are absolutely right, caller, if I get an Echo, I'm going to call it Frank.
All right, sorry. Thanks for that call. Our number, 844-724-8255. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Here with Alex and Manoush. Even in, what was the movie that just came out recently with Her? The name of the movie was Her.
Yeah. Well, I found it extremely... It was insightful to me. Like, it was a psychological experiment in myself to have to use a robot that behaves like a person, because I started to think, well, should I call it? Should I call it Her? And I went back and forth, and it depended on what she was doing. And if she behaves like a person or not, you then tend to treat her like a person. So something really interesting was that a lot of people know it's a robot and they still write back, thanks.
Yeah.
The robot doesn't need to hear that. It doesn't care. But so many people still treat it so much like a human that they say thank you and they do gratitude, that the company actually had to add a whole new category of message, and they labeled it gratitude for in order to train Amy and to know what it should do. Why is it female? Yeah. It doesn't need to be. No,
Hal was a male.
That's
and,
true.
And even in Interstellar, the computer in there has got a...
And in Iron Man, Jarvis is a male. I mean, there are some.
Yeah. Manoush, do you think this stuff is going to make our lives better or just get us more annoyed?
Well, that's definitely something that I'm wondering about, because part of me is like, well, what are we going to do with all this free time that Amy or whatever her or his name is going to give us? Are we just going to be going to more meetings because they're so easy to schedule? Or is this about, you know, Alex going to spend more time with his friends and me making it home in time to tuck my children into bed and have bigger thoughts, right? Do more human things as opposed to the tedious things like scheduling.
On the other hand, you could blame your scheduler if you miss an appointment.
It was my robot's fault.
My robot. You know, you're always looking for an excuse if you miss that meeting. Oh, my robot didn't get it right.
Yeah, I mean, I would love anything that would give me more time, and then it's on me to figure out how to use it better.
Mm-hmm. Are they figuring out? Are Amy's creators sitting there and figuring new things, new features to do?
Yeah, well, they want to make it. What they're actually doing is this big puzzle of understanding a human who speaks naturally.
Right.
That's actually a huge, major problem because, you know, what happens when it's different time zones and people aren't clear? How do you work with that? And words like soon or, close by, what does that mean? It's different for everybody.
You know, what was interesting at the top of this segment, I played Siri. I asked Siri where to get a haircut, and she said, I've loaded all these places for you to look. I did it two more times, and the second time I asked her, she said, you know, your hair looks just fine. That actually enamored her to me.
Right. You know,
that she sounded more human and came up with a joke like that.
But Ira, did she ever solve your problem about getting a haircut?
She didn't do anything I could not have Googled, as I said
myself.
Yes, I could have just Googled where's the nearest hair cutter, stuff like that.
What I wonder is, like, we're not there yet, I don't think.
All right, we've run out of time. I want to thank Manoush Zomorodi, who is the host and managing editor of WNYC's New Tech City podcast. Alex Goldmark, New Tech City senior producer, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And a note that today's interview is just a sneak peek of next week's episode of New Tech City. So if you want to get to know Amy a little better,
join us.
Subscribe to the New Tech City podcast in iTunes.